what I want to do this morning. I want God to lead us in a mighty way. And just you let the Spirit speak to your heart this morning. You let the Spirit speak deep to your heart. I was up studying the other morning, and I sent that song, "When I Lay My Isaac Down," to Brother Cullen. Didn't know at the moment he would sing it or even entertain it or anything. I just had that on my heart. And I knew Sister Denise had some things going on, maybe out. And so I just sent that to him. I said, "Hey, just see what you think about this." There's been many a times I'll be getting ready on Sunday morning and I'll put, "When I Lay My Isaac Down." Knowing I was going to preach that text today, though, by the way. God been stirring my heart in a mighty way. And this morning you may have an Isaac in God's way, keeping you from doing what God's called you to do. You may have an Isaac, I don't know. An Isaac doesn't only represent a kid. It could be anything that you put before God. Anything that God needs to test you with to see if you'd be willing to lay it down. And this morning, I don't know what you need to lay down, but you do. And there's some of you walked in here this morning with something that you need to lay at the feet of Jesus. And you already know what it is right now. You say, "Well, what is it, preacher? The hardest thing to do is to lay it down." But God wants us to lay it down. And this morning, if you have a copy of God's Word, I ask you to turn with me to Genesis chapter number 22. And we're going to read a few verses here in Genesis chapter number 22. And I just want to share a little something with you. What it takes to go and worship. What it takes to go and worship. Now, if you come in here this morning and you come expecting to receive, you've come for the wrong reason. We don't go to church to receive. We go to church to give, to worship, to give back to Almighty God. This is the Lord's day, not my day. So we've come to worship Him this morning. If you walk out and didn't like the music, it wasn't for you. It was to God. You see what I'm saying? It's about Him. When He be lifted up. If you have a copy of God's Word, Genesis 22 and verse number 1, I ask you to stand. Genesis 22 and verse number 1. And the Bible says this morning, "And it came to pass." Ain't you thankful that it comes to pass? "And it came to pass that after these things that God did tempt Abraham and said unto him, Abraham, and he said, Behold, here I am. And he said, Take now thy son, thine only son, Isaac, whom thou lovest, and get thee into the land of Moriah, and offer him there for a burnt offering upon one of the mountains which I will tell thee of. And Abraham rose up early in the morning and saddled his ass and took two of his young men with him and Isaac his son. And he clave the wood for the burnt offering and rose up and went unto the place of which God had told him. And then on the third day Abraham lifted up his eyes and he saw the place afar off. And Abraham said unto his young men, Abide you here with the young ass, and I and the lad will go yonder and worship. I and the lad will go yonder and worship. I and the lad will go yonder and worship." I want you to get that this morning. The Lord has told him to take his son, his only son, and go to worship. You said they were going for a murder. They were going to kill. They were going to... Preacher, what are you talking about? There's some things in your life and there's some things in my life that must die. And it has to die daily. There's some things in our life that cannot live, that cannot be in our life. He said, "Me and the lad will go yonder and worship and come again to you." Father, I love you and I thank you for this morning. I thank you for the sweet Holy Ghost that is in this place. I thank you that your power is here. Your presence is here. Lord, I pray right now for the next few moments that you move in a mighty way, Father. Lord, this morning, whoever's got anything going on in their life, I pray they lay it down at the feet of Jesus this morning, never to pick it up again. Father, I pray this morning that you guard my throat and guard my thoughts. Lord, I lift up so many people in this place already to you this morning, asking you to touch them, asking you to heal them, asking you to set them free. Father, this morning I pray if they be one lost, that they be saved before it's eternally too late. Father, I pray this morning if there's one backslidden, that they'd get to an old-timey altar and they'd do business with an old-timey God. Father, you're still in the saving business. You're still in the healing business. You're still in the helping business. And Father, this morning I pray that you move in a mighty way. Father, I love you and I thank you so much for this unpromised day. And Lord, whoever this morning that needs to go to the mountain, that needs to go to the place of worship and worship you and lay it down, so they can go back again and do what you've called them to do, be back in fellowship with you. I pray that this morning in Jesus' holy, precious name, and all of God's people said, amen. You may be seated this morning as we come and we see what it takes to go and worship. The Bible says in Hebrews chapter number 11 and verse number 17, the Bible says, by faith Abraham, when he was tried, he offered up Isaac, and he that had received the promise offered up his only begotten son. This morning I want to say to you, to worship is to fall down or bow down completely under the mighty hand of Almighty God. So what does it take to go and worship God? Hey, what does it take to get to that place in our life that we go and we worship God? Hey, don't worry about Brother Heath. He's just going to get an altar and pray a little bit. Can I get an amen? Hey, I want you to know this morning, what does it take, hey, to get in a place where God is and get in an altar and be able to pray and ask God to move and ask God to move on your life? You say, preacher, what does it take to go and worship at the house of God? What does it take to go and worship right where God is? What does it take to get to that place of where God is? Does it take me to be a super Christian? Does it take me to be somebody out of my element, somebody that I'm not? I know, my friend, it doesn't. All it takes is faith this morning. The Bible says it takes faith to worship God. Hebrews 11:6, the Bible says, but without faith it is impossible to please him, for he that cometh to God must believe that he is, and he is a rewarder of them that diligently seek him. Here Abraham came to a place in his life and he wanted to seek God. He wanted to be right in the presence of Almighty God. And he had a faith like you had never seen. He had a faith that would not waver, and he would do what God had called him to do. This morning, can I say to you, if you're going to have faith to worship God, there may be some areas in your life that you have to line up and make sure they line up with God. Number one, before you can worship God, hey, must be repentance in your life. Hey, must be repentance in a man and a woman's life before they can ever worship God. You say, preacher, do you believe that? If you walk in this build this morning and you got an alt with a brother, or you got an alt with a sister, or you got an alt with somebody, hey, don't you think you're going to bring your arms before Almighty God and he's going to open up the windows of heaven on you? There's got to be a time in your life when you got enough faith to say, Lord God, this sin is in my life. Hey, this problem is in my life and I need to repent. I need to get right with you. I come to that place where repentance is found. And Brother Kevin read this morning, in Romans chapter number 2 and verse number 4, it said, it's the goodness of God that leads us to repentance. You say, I didn't see where Abraham, hey, repented of anything. If you go back one chapter to chapter number 21, Abraham come to the place before he ever worshiped God. He came to the place, he made things right between him and Abimelech. You say, preacher, what do you mean? Do you remember when they come into the town and there he was with his wife and he said, you tell them that you're my sister. Hey, because if you don't, they'll kill me and they'll take you. And if you turn back to Genesis chapter number 21 and look, if you will, and if you'll look with me, will, in verse number 5 and verse number 6 of what the Bible says in chapter number 20 and verse number, I believe it will be chapter number 20 and verse number 5, it says, but Abimelech had not come near her, and he said, Lord, wilt thou slay also a righteous nation? And said, it be unto me, she is my sister. She neither ever heard herself say it. Here is my brother, in the integrity of my heart and innocence of my hands I have done this. And the Lord said, and God said to him in his dream, yeah, I know that thou did this in the integrity of thy heart, for I also know this. He said, I know that he withheld it from you, sinning against me. Therefore suffered I thee not to touch her. You said, preacher, what is going on. Hey, before he ever went to Moriah, he came to a place and he found repentance. He went back to Abimelech and he said, I have wronged you and I've done wrong and I want to make it right to you and in the eyes of God. Hey, this morning can I say to you, if you're going to worship God and truly worship him in spirit and truth, it's going to take faith to worship God, but it's also going to take repentance to worship God. You've got to get to that place where you say, Lord God, search my heart. Find if there be any wrong inside of my heart. And if there be any, I ask you to remove it in the name of Jesus. Can I get an amen? Hey, friends, this morning I say it doesn't only take faith and repentance. Hey, but it takes a desire to worship God. You say, preacher, do you believe that? Yes, I do. It takes desire to worship God. I got a group text with 10 men on it. And then we got texting the other day. And I was reading this text. And I asked them, what does it take to worship God? And they hit me back with these points. And that's why I'm preaching it to you this morning. They didn't know where it was coming from in the Bible. They didn't know where it would come from. Hey, but I wanted to see what God was moving on people's lives. It don't only take faith and repentance. Hey, but it takes a desire. Look with me, if you will, in verse number 2 and what the Bible says in chapter number 22. And he said, take now thy son, thy only son Isaac, whom thou lovest, and get thee into the land of Moriah and offer him there for an offering upon one of the mountains which I tell thee. And Abraham rose up early in the morning. Hey, when he rose up that morning, he didn't question God. He didn't ask God why. He didn't think about it. God told him to do it, and he went and do it. Can I get an amen? Hey, this morning, if God is telling you to do something, hey, get out of that seat and do what God has called you to do. It takes a desire to do it. Abraham rose up early in the morning. Proverbs 8:17, the Bible says, I love them that love me, and those that seek me early shall find me. You say, how early should I seek him? Before you ever drink Folgers, you should be seeking God. Amen. Hey, before you ever get on Facebook in the morning when you wake up, you ought to be searching God. Hey, before you ever talk to your spouse, you ought to be talking to God. Hey, before you ever brush your teeth, before you ever get in the shower, as soon as you open your eyes and you get out of that bed, get on your knees before Almighty God. Get you a desire to get God right where he needs to be in your life. He said what it takes to go and worship, it takes faith, it takes repentance, it takes a desire to go worship God. You got to have a desire to go worship God. Because see, when you go before God to worship, you can't go like you are. Oh no. What? You can't enter his presence in your own power and in your own might and in your own way. You can't enter in that way. You enter in by the blood of Jesus Christ. And when you enter in there, if there be anything in your life, let me tell you what it'll do when you enter in to worship God. Before you ever start worshiping him, he'll show you the problems that's in your life. He'll show you what you're holding on to more than you're holding on to him, and what you need to let go and you need to release on, and you need to get let go of it all at once. This morning, can I say that that's what we need in the hour more than anything right now is a desire to worship God no matter what goes or what comes, no matter who worship is in with me. I'm going to worship God. I'm going to stay at his feet. I'm going to get in his face. I want to be where God is. This morning, I'm asking you, what is your attitude this morning? Do you have an attitude of gratitude this morning? And I'm going to worship God. He said he didn't only have a desire, but he had obedience. He had obedience. You know how hard it is to be obedient? Very hard. Very hard. This week, we got a two-year-old, a little over two-year-old, and Brandy had a bright idea. We're going to take him off the pacifier. That two-year-old. And she said, we'll just take it all at once. I said, I pastor about 280 folks. You just don't take stuff from them all at once. I pastor over 280 folks, and you just don't take stuff from them all at once. You just can't do it. You start jerking stuff from them, and they say, oh, well, wait a minute, they'll back up. You got to ease. It's a slow fade. You got to grab it a little bit. So we went all day Friday. He didn't have that pacifier all day, Brother Mason. All day long, he didn't have it. We cut the end of the nipple. He's sticking his mouth. He'd say, Passy broke, Passy broke, Passy broke. I said, yeah, Passy's broke. He stick that thing in his mouth. Passy broke. Passy broke. She come in about 4:30, 5 o'clock. She said, what do you think? I said, you better not give it to him. We have suffered all day long. And I know you're weak when it comes to that boy. He's your pride and joy. You do not give in to him. She said, I'm not. I said, okay. 12:30 that night, a.m., 12:30 a.m. That means you need to be asleep. Nothing good goes on at 12:30. She said, what do you want to do? I said, what do you mean, what are we going to do? She said, we ain't asleep and he's still awake. Do we give it back to him? What do we do? What do we do? I said, one thing we've done, we took it too fast. We took it too quick. We took it away too early. Said, we need to help him. We need to help him. This morning, can I say to you, God won't take nothing from you that he don't need, that don't need to be took from your life. This morning, he'll take things out when you'll bring it to him, and he'll remove it. He'll remove it from your life, but he'll not do nothing to hurt you. Anything he removes from your life, he does it to help you. And when you get that place in your life, you can say, I've been obedient to God, and he's removed this burden from my life. As we laid there in the bed, I had a good one in my pocket. Amen? I had that thing in my pocket laying there. And I said, let me see the bad one. He said, Daddy, bro. I said, buddy, I know it's broke. Let Daddy see it and see if Daddy can fix it. He handed me that pacifier. I took that thing and I slipped it. Y'all know what slipping is, don't you? They don't see when you take it one hand or the other. I slipped that thing out, Brother Travis, and I gave it to him. And he hit it about 3 licks and he's about to say, pass it, bro. And he put it back in. He hit it about 3 more good licks. And he poured that thing out, and Kaylee said, you're proud about this, because I've said, told everybody this story. When he took that passy out, tears flowing down his face, Brother Eric, he looked at me just as, I mean, it's 12:30 in the morning, son. And he said, thank you, Daddy. Thank you for fixing my passy. When he said that, it ain't all, listen to me. I thought about it so many times in my life, and I told God, thank you for fixing me. Thank you for fixing what's broke. Thank you for fixing me when I've been a failure and I've been fake and I've been undone and I just need a touch and I want to be obedient to what you called me to do. He got that passy in his mouth, Sister Brittany, just like you got, buddy. And all of a sudden, yeah, things good, ain't it? All of a sudden, he laid over and went to sleep, slept all night long. You said, why? Because the Father took care of the problem that he had in his life. This morning, if you got any problem in your life and you got a problem with worshiping, the Father can take care of what you got going on. Let me share you this morning. Only it takes obedience. Look at this. The obedience that he had. It said that he woke up early and with the desire, but the obedience to worship. And Abraham went unto the place. Look what he says there in verse number 3. And he rose up and went unto the place of which God had told him. He had obedience to worship God. He got up early and went. 1 Samuel 15:22, the Bible says, and Samuel said, hath the Lord a great delight in burnt offerings and sacrifices as in obeying the voice of the Lord? Behold, to obey is better than sacrifice, and to hearken than the fat of rams. If you're going to worship, you can only be obedient, but you got to love. You got to love God to worship him. What you love, you will worship. It's just facts. What you love, you will worship. And look what he said. What you love, you will worship. Then on the third day, Abraham lifted up his eyes and he saw the place. I see he got up early. I see that he went. And I seen that he saw. He looked up and he saw the place. Folks, if he told you to take your only son to that place, would you have got up early? Would you have got ready? Would you have looked up? Would you have done what God told you to do? I'd be wanting to talk to God about it. Wait a minute, hold up. Something ain't right here. I don't like this picture. Abraham had faith. He had obedience. He loved God. And he said, God, if you're telling me this, I'll do it. God's been telling some folks in this room to do things, and you think it's so crazy, so far out there, and God's telling you, I'm trying to remove things in your life. I'm trying to get you lined back up where you need to be. He had a love to worship God. Abraham saw the place afar off. No matter the distance, Abraham's love for God kept him moving. Then on the third day, Abraham lifted up his eyes and saw the place afar off. And Abraham said unto his young men, abide ye here with the ass, and I and the lad will go yonder and worship and come again unto you. Not only you going to have love, but you got to be humble to worship. And look what he said. Look what he said, to be humble to worship. Look what he said. Verse number 8. His son asks him a question. In verse number 7, he said, I see the wood, I see the fire, I see everything that we need to go worship. But where's the lamb? But where's the lamb? The lamb wasn't there yet. The ram wasn't caught in the thicket yet. A lot of us wants to step when we see our rams in the thicket and there's been provision already made. God wants you to step before you ever see the provision. God wants you to step before you ever see the plan. God wants you to step before he ever tells you everything. If he tells you the whole story, it's easy to follow. But God don't tell the whole story. You know what he does? He gives you enough to get you stepping. And then he wants you to keep stepping. And as you step, he unfolds. And he asked Abraham a question, his son did. He said, where is the lamb? And as humble as he could be, here's what Abraham said. He won't provide us nothing less than himself. If you're in a need this morning, God won't provide you a pastor. He won't provide you a good deacon board. He won't provide you only a church to go to and a pew to sit on. But he'll provide you himself. I'm thankful this morning when I find myself being obedient, not being where God wants me to be, he provides himself to show me when I need to go right. Look what he said. He said in verse number 8, and Abraham said, my son, God will provide himself a lamb for a burnt offering. So that they went both of them together. Abraham said, God will provide himself. John 1:29, the Bible says, the next day John said, Jesus coming unto him and said, behold, the Lamb of God, which taketh away the sin of the world. He'll provide himself. Can I say, not only you got to be humble to worship God, it takes humility to worship. It does. You know why we don't throw our hands up? You know why our soul gets quiet on us? Because it makes you look crazy when you do that. That's just not how I worship, preacher. I just don't do that. Okay? But it takes humility to come into the house of God and worship him. Can I say to you, it only takes that, but it takes faithfulness to worship God. Look what he said in verse number 9. And they came to the place. Not one time did he stop. He got up early. He saw the mountain that he had to go to. He came to the place, and he arrived. This morning, if you're going to worship God in spirit and truth, you're going to have to get to that place, and nothing holds you back. And they came to the place. Don't you stop till you come to the place where God has called you to go. Not only is it faithfulness, but I see the thankfulness that Abraham had. He was so thankful that he got to a place that he could worship God. I want to ask you a question this morning. In your Christian life, have you ever been at a place that you just didn't feel like you could worship? The burden, the pain, all that goes on in your life kept you from worshiping. Knew what you needed to do, but you didn't do it. Could be who's sitting beside you, who's behind you, who's in front of you, or who's just whispering in your ear. Say, preacher, what do I need to do? You need to get to a place, same as I need to get to that place, that nothing holds me back from worshiping the one true God. He said he was thankful to worship God. It said Abraham lifted up his eyes. You talking about a blessing. You talking about being thankful. It said he came to the place in verse number 9 which God had told him of. And Abraham built an altar there and laid the wood in order and bound Isaac his son and laid him on the altar upon the wood. And Abraham stretched forth his hand. You talking about faith. He took the knife to slay his son, and the angel of the Lord called on him out of heaven and said, Abraham, Abraham. And he said, here am I. And he said, lay not thy hand upon the lad, neither do thou anything unto him. For now I know that thou fearest God, seeing thou hast not withheld thy son, thy only son, from me. And Abraham lifted up his eyes and looked, and behold, behind him a ram caught by a thicket by his horns. And Abraham went and took the ram and offered him up for a burnt offering in the stead of his son. And Abraham called the name of that place Jehovah Jireh. And it is said to this day in the mount of the Lord, it shall be seen. What does that mean, Jehovah Jireh? He's my provider. He's my provider. Mark chapter number 5, the crazy man that was at Gadara. Jesus walks in the scene. What does he do? He runs, Brother Brad, and he worships. To get out of the things that I'm in my life, it takes worship. When I'm worshiping him, the things of this world don't drag me down. It took worship. It took worship. He's thinking about Jairus in that same chapter, chapter number 5, when he walks in and he sees Jesus. He comes to the place and he said, my little girl is at the point of death. Will you go with me? Will you go with me? And you know what Jesus did? He went with him. This morning, if something is hindering your worship, you won't have to go alone. with you. He'll go with you all the way. And on the way, he met a woman that had an issue of blood for 12 years. And instead of going on with Jairus, he stops. And he communes with that woman and he talks with her. And all of a sudden he said, "Who touched me?" Like the Son of Man, the Son of God needs to know who touched him. That wasn't for him, that was for her. "Adam, where are you?" You don't think he knew where Adam was? He knew where Adam was. He wanted Adam to admit where he was at. "Adam, Adam, where are you?" He knew where Adam was. You know what old Satan said about Job? He told God, he said, "You take everything he's got. Everything you blessed him with. The only way reason them people go to Union Chapel, God's because you blessed them. You take away the blessing and they'll curse you to your face." And he said, "Oh, no, not Job. I can take everything he's got. No, Job won't curse me." Why? Because Job was a servant of God. This morning, I want to ask you a question. I want you to think about it this morning. What are you truly worshiping? Who are you truly worshiping? How long has it been since you guys had to lay something down and say, "God, I want to get back in fellowship with you. I want to be so faithful with you. I don't want things of this world to hinder anything in my life." You see, that's a pretty good test he put old Abraham to. He's put me to some myself. What about you? What about you? Things that's rose up in your life and you say, "Well, I can't no more." It's a test. So God don't test no man. Genesis 22 said he put him to the test. Brother Kevin, you work on a vehicle. When you get done, you just don't take it off the rack and put it in the shed, do you? Until your customer, "Come get it and pay me and go on." What do you do when you take it out of the shop? You test it. Why? Make sure it's going to hold up and not fall apart. This morning, God's putting somebody to the test. He's going to make sure you're going to hold up. Make sure you hold up, amen. Make sure you're going to be able to handle it. Make sure you're going to be able to stand. And this morning, as I'm just trying to tell you from the bottom of my heart, when Abraham got there, by faith, God said, "That's enough." This morning, if you're going through a battle, it may be because you've not come to the place. And a lot of people ain't going to like this. It may be because you ain't come to the place that you say, "God, if there's anything in my life that's between me and you, you take it." I've heard people say all the time, "I can't go to church because I got a kid." Man, that kid, don't put your kid before church. You may not have a kid. Huh? Don't you put that kid before God. You know how bad they act? "Yeah, I got one. He's 2 years old. Praise God, I got a wife that's wrestling him right now. Praise God. If not, I'd be holding him, preaching wrestling." You say, "Well, I would, preacher. I would worship God. I would come up there, and I would, but I'm not that kind of person." What will it take you to get to be that kind of person? He shed his blood for you. What's it going to take to get to be that kind of person? You know why Abraham was that kind of person? Because he's a friend of God. And he said, "I'm going to stick with the stuff no matter what happens." This morning, if you got something bad going on, God can turn it to your good. He said, "Preacher, you know how bad it is." Let me tell you, God sends bad to make good. Said in 1909 in Enterprise, Alabama, they said they grow cotton, the biggest cotton you could get. Supplied people everywhere. 1909 said cotton everywhere in Enterprise, Alabama. Said it rained, cotton grew, money grew, blessing. I'm talking about, son, the people were blessed, about like we are here. Amen? Instead of 1909, a little thing called a boll weevil hit Enterprise, Alabama. Ate every bit of their crop up, every bit of their cotton. Ate it up, was nothing left. And said that a lot of the old farmers got complaining and belly aching. Because it's losing. And they was asking God, "What's going on?" You know how old farmers used to be, they pray. They'd get out and they'd pray for rain. They'd have a meeting outside the church. They'd pray and God send rain. Instead they got down there and they got to just complaining and didn't understand. It says George W. Carver stepped up and realized God had showed him that they had to go to a different crop. They had to change. Instead of Enterprise, Alabama, instead of being the cotton that grew, they realized that peanuts boll weevils wouldn't overtake them. What they thought they had to have, I got to have this to survive and live. Oh, no, you don't. You got to have God. That cotton that wasn't their provider, God was their provider. And he was going to show them, if you were lying in cotton, cotton ain't where it's at. And said they dissed up all their fields and planted nothing but peanuts. And said it started harvesting, and the blessing was 10 times bigger than the cotton ever thought of. What they cherished so much, and they had to have, Brother Jenny, they had to have it. They destroyed it because it was of no value no more. What they thought used to be great had to be gone. And they said, now, in the center of Enterprise, Alabama, there's a statue. Looks like the Statue of Liberty. Look it up when you get home. And in the top of the lady's hand is a statue of a boll weevil. What tried to kill them and destroy them, they gave it to God. And they said, this tried to kill us, but God showed us something better. Whatever's in your life you think you've got to have, God may be trying to get you to prize your hand from it. And he says, give it to me, and I'll show you something a whole lot better. I'll give you something a whole lot better. Can I say it wasn't Isaac he was wanting? He was wanting Abraham. I'm talking to somebody this morning. You got your hand on something that you know better than have it on. You need to release it and let it go because it's hindering the blessings of God in your life. You say, what can it be? Anything that you put before God. It don't have to only be a sin. It don't have to only be a sin. We get caught up in drug and drink and all that. Listen, it ain't only got to be that. It can be idolatry. You've put something in place of God. You're idolizing it more than you are God. And he told Abraham, he said, I got to see where you're at. And this morning he may be speaking to somebody's heart. And he said, I just want to see where you're at. There's things comes our life that we got to let go of. What the devil meant for evil, God meant for good. Father, I love you and I thank you for this morning. I thank you for the sweet Holy Ghost. Father, I thank you this morning that there's been times in my life, Lord God, that you have removed things that didn't need to be there. Father, there's been times I didn't want to let it go because I knew if I did, Father, the pain that it would bring for just a moment, but how much glory and how much joy it brings on down the road. Lord, whoever this morning's worship's hindered, Father, they can get right in fellowship with you this morning through the blood of Jesus. Lord, let not what's going on the outside hinder what you got going on the inside. Touch that one that needs to let it go. Father, right now, that man or woman, boy or girl that's sitting here right now, they may have an ault against somebody. They may have something going on in their life, an unconfessed sin. They may have something. They just may have an Isaac in their life that they need to lay at the feet of Jesus. Lord, this morning, I pray you show it, you point it out, and they come to this altar. I ask it in Jesus' most holy, precious name. And all of God's people say, amen. I ask you to stand.